grant, Lord, that we have peace in this world, because there are so many problems we have. Help us for Christ's sake. Amen. Now, I want you to turn with me to Amos. Amos is one of the prophets of the book of Israel. The word of Amos, chapter 1, verse 1, who came among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the day of Uzziah, the king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And he said, "The Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn, and the tops of Carmel shall wither." Now, this word has a word called Amasa. And Amasa, it means a burden. So these people have a burden from God to speak, and this burden you will hear him speak from this man Amos. That's what Amos means. He has this burden. Now, it isn't for nothing that God chose this Amos. Do you know why God chose the man to him? Because he was a very poor man in a sense. He came about 12 years near Jerusalem before Israel. He lived near the Dead Sea, where it was a very bad area. Now, do you remember that they called the Jeshimon, the place where they had the desert? Well, Jeshimon simply means an utterly desolated person. This man lived in a village, and that village was kept with all, everything kept perfectly in order they could. They had a great highway coming, and that highway coming up from Egypt up to the north brought much to the people, good and treasures. Now, these people lived in the south side of Israel, near Judah. And here they were with these men. They were shepherds, but they were more than shepherd. They were men who we call them, and they were people who had huge number of sheep, thousands and thousands. So he had a big area. Now, this man then was a very poor man in way. How did he get his money? Well, they used to sell some what we call sycamore, which was like little figs. And he used to buy these little figs and sell them to the poor people. So he had people having a little bit of money, selling the sheep, getting rid of the poor. Really, it wasn't something you'd know what it was like, but it was like the figs. And this man used to go to the north. Now, remember, the south of Israel was split in two, and there were the north. Now, you see all these words spoken about Uzziah and the others. All those men were in the north. They stayed in Jerusalem. So this man knew David's king had the king in Jerusalem. Therefore, although he didn't have much to do thing with them, yet he realized that these Jerusalem were the ones who God had sent these men. Now, up in the north, these men with the great ways with the traveling, and they had the people going through the fairs, he was faced with Assyria. Assyria was really the power which was of Babylon before Babylon. This was about 800 years before the Lord Jesus Christ, a long time back. Now, this man living for these men used to walk all the way through the villages, through the fields, selling his, especially his sheep. And as he did it, he began to look at people's lifestyle. And he saw the Assyrians weren't really worried at all about the people of Israel. They weren't bothered, this northern part, these 10 tribes. They let them be. And because they let them be, their kings became very powerful. So they ruled right up as far through these great roads that came up from up to them. And also, these people, having a great deal of power, had a great deal of money. And like everybody money, these people they saw were hurtful. And everybody I know of, as far as they are in the whole of the world, one people get rich, very soon they get trouble. And the trouble was this. Do you remember Moses had said, you people had been given each family their land, little areas of land. Now, these rich people had grabbed their land, had taken the power, and the king were marvelously rich. They were so rich that right up to Damascus, the king had right across in Damascus, right through the far side of Israel, they had this enormous area, and they were very rich. Now, that's what these people were. These people then were living with people who were rich, powerful, but the poor people were going poor, down, down and down. And if you look at the Middle East, you will find the same again. The rich people do very well indeed, but the poor people have almost nothing. And that's how it was. So then this man, who was Amos, was like that. Now, what God then saw next was, you look at chapter 3 of Amos and verse 15, and you'll look what he says. I will smite the window house with the summer house, and the houses of ivory shall perish, and the greatness of houses shall have an end, saith the Lord. These people were making a great deal of houses, several houses to themselves, and building them. And they had all the wonderful things of ivory. You can still see them. You can find them among the people who were buried amongst them in Israel. You can see, and we can show you, that the beautiful things they had made out of ivory. Ivory were there, and the poor people had nothing. Just nothing. And that's what this man was seeing they had. Now, you look at chapter 4 and verse 1, and this is how the women were talking. And this is just like Israel today. And it's just like, you will find it in the Far East. Hear the word, ye kine of Basan. It means you sheep of Basan. It claims that the women, who were very, very rich and powerful, were like great fat sheep, great fat cows that are in the mountain of Samaria. And what these women do, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring and let us drink. So that everyone was drinking a lot, eating very well, had these beautiful, beautiful homes, had everything they wanted. Their women were a dreadful behavior, their behavior was. And that is what Amos was wanting. Now, Amos came down from Jeshimon, and he had to look after his little flock of his herd, and he had to fight against the lions. You look at chapter 1 and verse 3, at verse 2. The Lord hath roared from Zion, and utters his voice from Jerusalem. And the habitates of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither. These Amos were living with lions, and the lion would roar, and the time was having a hard time of it. The sheep were being attacked. And this man then lived in such a strange way, to fighting with lions, with looking after his sheep, and then walking up through to the north and seeing all these people with all the enormous amount of riches and everything they wanted. That's just how it's happening exact today in Israel, in right through in the Middle East today. There's vast rich and vast poverty, so they hardly know what to do. You know what they're like. I know what they're like. Now, what is Amos to do? God gave him a burden. Now, God has given you a burden, and God has sent to speak to them. Ultimately, the burden is Jesus of Christ. He is the one we speak for. He is the one who comes to help the poor. We have come to help the poor, the needy, the blind, the maimed. We want the one to help. We're not here for fighting everybody. We're not here to get our money. You can see exactly how this man Amos was seeing. You look at the way he was exploited. Look at chapter 2 and verse 6. And you'll say, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel. Now stop a minute. Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem. He's cried, for the way that they were doing of the Jerusalem. And before he died, he spoke of them. Now you'll say, there were three transgressions of Israel. And you'll find that this chapter 1 always talk about Edom and Ammon and Moab, all those cities alongside which are now that area. These people, all of them had three transgressions. And God said a fourth. And the fourth is the Israelites. The fourth is these people in the north. God says he roars from the Zion's lion. Do you know who the lion is? That is God, the tribe of Israel, the lion of the tribe of David. David, the great shepherd, Jesus is the shepherd of sheep, roars his voice. And he hears all that's happening in the Far East and all that's happened among the Jews. And God knows it is three transgressions and four. God is at these people and the wicked way they're doing. God is watching. They're telling him of Amos. You look at the racket they were at. You look at chapter 2 and verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel and four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they sold the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of shoes. What they do is they get the poor people, they don't give them their olive oil, they don't give them anything, they grab the poor people and keep it from them. And I can show it to you, this in Middle East, that is exactly how it's done. The very, very poor are left with nothing. And this Amos says, listen to me, he says, you're grabbing ordinary poor people and you buy a nice pair of shoes for the wife or for yourself, and you leave these people nothing at all, just left without any bread or any oil or any olives or anything, just left there while these people take it. You listen to my heart, because God says Jesus is the roar will utter, and he is uttering to all his poor people. They may have enormous roaring in today in Syria or in Egypt, and great roaring of everything. But I'll tell you this, the Lion of tribe of Judah, he has the roar, and he speaks, for three transgressions, for all you're doing, I am against it. And listen very carefully what he says. Now you look at his racket they're doing. Look at verse 7 of chapter 2. The pant for the dust of the earth on the head of the poor, and turn aside the meek, and a man and his father will go into the same maid to profane my holy name. God said, underneath all this wonderful things that are happening, all their beautiful mosques and everything, underneath is the most horrible thing happened to women. The most dreadful things that are happening, and Amos sees. And God put Amos there because it is pointing to the Lord Jesus, and he sees what they're doing, the whole evil of it, and God is with it. Now you listen very carefully, because this word has come from a burden from God. And this burden from God will not be put away. What God says to his word, it always happens. And here it is. You look at the horrible racket that's happening. You chapter 8 and verse 5. and you'll see what they're saying. This is what is happening to the poor, saying, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath, that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balance by deceit, that they may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell the refuge of the meat. The Lord has sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget of any of their works. What God is doing is saying, you buy you the bad, bad wheat, and I will make you pay me silver for it. And you buy me nothing, and I will give them a beautiful, beautiful things of your own to give them. God is watching the poor. God is watching what's happening today in Israel. God is watching what happened today amongst those of the Arabs too. And God is watching. And God is saying, I will not have this. They may be very, very rich. They may get everything, and I'll give nothing. Nothing. I will roar. God promises to roar. Now, can't you see how Amar's looking at it? He's watching all this. You look at chapter 5 and verses 10 and 12, and you'll see what this dreadful way they're behaving. Chapter 5, forasmuch therefore as your treading is upon the poor, and you take from burden of wheats, ye have built houses of human stone, but ye shall not dwell in them. Ye have planted pleasant vineyards, but not shall drink wine of them. God says, what I have noticed is this. You're buying beautiful houses for yourself out of beautiful stone. And what have you done? You've taken the poor people and you're treading down the poor people for what's happening. This is what God is watching. God knows very well what they have done, and he won't do it. And all the frivolity. Look at chapter 3. Chapter 6 and verse 3. In chapter 6, verse 3, this is what the men and the women are doing in them. Ye have put far away the evil days, and cause the seat of violence to come near. They lie upon beds of ivory, and stretch themselves upon their couches, and eat the lambs out of the flock, and the calves out of the midst of the stall, that chant the sound of the viol, and invent for themselves instruments of music like David, that drink wines in bowls, and anoint them with the chief ointments, but they have not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. What God is saying is, all you rich people, listen to it, and God is angry with what is happening. You poor people who live everywhere in your poverty places right through. I'm watching, says Amos, and I know God is watching you. You're taking everything for yourself and you're getting back nothing. Now that's just how it was. And what then has he got to do? Well, what was happening was religious. I remember watching a religious man who had several great bigs of, I don't know what you call it, they got a lot of money, these men, a great deal, and they built a mosque, And the poor people said to us, I heard them saying to them, it's a shame that these people, God is making them to go to heaven because they've made all this mosque for God, whereas really they're terrible in their behavior. And everybody knew they were terrible. They lived with five or six evil women who they're living with, and with these men, and there were all sorts of things they were doing. But you see, that's just what's happening in the Middle East today. That behind it, there's money, there's everybody getting rich, and the poor people have nothing. And God says that Amos, the one with the burden of God, is watching, and God has this, what he'll say to them. Now, because they've done it, then what they've got, two big, wonderful religious festivals, one in Gilgal and one in Beersheba and Dan. And what they do is they come and they sing, they pray, they talk, everybody comes and they all say their singing and psalms, and everybody listen to all the words they're saying, and it's just nothing. He said, it's nothing. You know, I'm not even interested in people who wanted to hear everything that is all this singing, all this praying, all this talking. They won't have any of it at all. What they are determined to have is that God will deal with them. You look at chapter 4 and verse 4. And you'll see what I'm saying. Verse 4, come to Bethel and transgress. At Gilgal, multiply transgression. And bring your sacrifice every morning, and your tithes after 3 years. And offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven, and proclaim and publish the free offering. For this like you, O children of Israel, saith the Lord. So God watches the enormous amount of all this praying and bowing down and chanting and all their keeping, all their feasts and everything. God said, I'm not interested in it. I'm just nothing to do with it. What I'm interested in is the poor people are seeing this terrible loss is happening. Now, that's what happened. Religion is at the back of it, and it gets worse. Now, what God wants here is this, and listen to me carefully. God raised up the Assyrians, and the Assyrians suddenly rose up powerful. And suddenly all these little fat princes of Israel were struck. And God said to those people, I am going to destroy all these people. I'm going to destroy the north of Israel. I'm going to destroy everything. I'm going to break it completely. And I'm going to suddenly come in the Assyrians, and we will just ruin everything. And that's what happened. And that's what happened. Now think to me, because God has said that we have in the whole of the whole East, the whole of the world, we are making ourselves wonderful, wonderful money, wonderful clothes, wonderful everything we want. Everything is going beautiful. And God says, suddenly I'll destroy it. That is promised here. And that is a picture that it's at. This is a picture of God destroying them. And he does it to them there. So he does it. And ruins them. And what we'll send is this, the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you turn to Amos 9 and verse 7. Are ye not the children of Ethiopia unto me, O children of Israel, saith the Lord? Have not I brought up Israel out of the land of Egypt, and the Philistines from Caphtor, and Syria from Kir? Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon this sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, save that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith the Lord. For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all the nations, like the corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, and say, the evil shall not overcome nor prevail us. Now God says that he is going to destroy every sinner. And verse 11, in that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David, that is the Lord Jesus, and that is fallen and closed up the breach thereof, and I will raise up the ruin, and I will build up the days of the old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom, and all of the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth it. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the ploughman shall overtake the reaper, and the tread of grapes shall that soweth seed, and the mountain shall drop sweet wines, and all the hills shall melt. Then I will bring away in the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste city and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyard and drink wine thereof, and they shall also make gardens, eat fruit of them, and I will plant upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. What God has promised, that at the end of time God will destroy everything of this world, but at the same time God will bring wonderful, wonderful peace, the peace of God in his everything for peace. It's going to be wonderful. Now we must leave it there, the time's gone. But that is what Amos, who sees such a burden. Amen.